Praise and thanks be to the Lord for the privilege of being here to worship and hear God's word. Anyone who has actually realized that we are not just talking about God's word, but that God speaks to us through His word, has understood what it is all about. And we believe that God has placed all things under His word. The whole of creation, He has placed the sun and moon, plants and crops, everything under His word. And everything runs according to His word. And if we think a little further, we come to the church in the Old Testament and also in the New Testament. Everything. We can take Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, the whole of Israel. Everything was under the word of God. God spoke to Abraham. God spoke to Isaac. God spoke to Jacob. God spoke to Israel. And all the people said, "We do not want God to speak to us anymore, or we will perish." Moses, you hear what God says and then tell us. I've had to think about this, and this since last Sunday in a special way, that God has really put all things under His word. The reason for this, you all know, we have been preaching it for a long time, and have also realized what God has promised for this time, what He has revealed, and we have placed ourselves under it. We see that at the first coming of the Lord, there was a word of promise. John was the first to stand under the word of promise. He was a promised prophet. His ministry was under a word from God, not a personal commission, but a commission from God. When the Lord was to be born, the angel Gabriel came and said, "Peace be with you." And then it is simply written in Luke 1:45, "And blessed is she that believed, for there shall be a performance of those things which were told her from the Lord." If we look at this tonight, we can see that there were people on this earth with whom God had plans. God spoke to these people, whether to individuals or to the church. And through His word, He revealed His will and His purpose. I have already mentioned that I heard a sermon on Sunday in Switzerland. I had the manuscript sent to me. It is the sermon of a professor from Tübingen. He takes the word from Isaiah 60, verse 1. "Arise, shine, for thy light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee." The prophet does not speak presumptuously. He knows why and by what means there is to be light in the world. Then he says, "Dear listeners, When I first read this text, I was fascinated by the realization that the life of this child, this John, is under a prophecy, under a prophetic word. Does this also apply to me today? Is my life also under a prophecy, under a word from God? This is what a professor says or asks. He says quite clearly, the life of this John was under a prophecy, under a prophetic word. Then the question, does this also apply to me today? Is my life also under a prophecy, under a word from God? Then everything would be about the fulfillment of this word from God for me. Do you know what happened to me when I heard this on the radio? He says, then it is all about if a word from God is over our lives, that this word from God comes to fulfillment. We can see how it was fulfilled in John. We can see how it was fulfilled in the early church, also in the prophetic ministry of that time. But the question is whether our life now, the life of the church, of the living God, only has visual lessons about a prophetic word, or whether she herself is under this prophetic word, and whether she can count on the fulfillment of this prophetic word herself. And this is where our faith comes in. It says here, as I've read, then everything would be about this word from God coming to fulfillment in me. It would be clear that my life has a high meaning because it would be given meaning and purpose from the very beginning, not just an imagined meaning, not just a purpose grasped with my own hand and desired with my own wavering desires, but a purpose that is valid before God, higher than my own thoughts, more valid than my own desires. This is what a man said in his sermon last Sunday morning. Not a goal that you and I set for ourselves, which is unattainable anyway, because it misses God's goal. Hasn't the Church of God been placed under a prophetic word in this time to leave all our own goals and keep God's goal in mind so that it can be achieved? Not our own desires. They would be invalid. But God's revealed word, with a certainty in the believing heart of reaching the goal. Now he asks the question again. Is there also a prophetic word over my life that is to be fulfilled? Is there also a prophetic word over my life and yours that is to be fulfilled? It stood over the life of John. It was Bible prophecy, but it is the same with the New Testament church. She too was placed under a prophetic word on the day of Pentecost. And when Peter opened his mouth, he said, "Ye men of Judea, hearken to my words. These men are not drunken as ye suppose, but here is fulfilled what the prophet Joel has spoken. The church of the living God has been placed under the prophetic word, and she has a goal and a task." This man asks, "Is there also a prophetic word over my life that is to be fulfilled? Then my life would be more than toil and labor, more than the drudgery and what comes out of it. It is always too little, more than disappointment in others and in myself, more than what today's world makes of me, more and something completely different. The path of my life would lead to a great fulfillment, because where this word from above is, it's the prophetic word for me. Is that the case? Is there a prophetic word for me?" These are words of a man who has probably heard nothing of God's message for this time. And we know that we live in a prophetic age. And here this man says that then our lives will have a goal beyond all effort and beyond everything, and will see the fulfillment of the prophetic word that stands over our lives. He goes on to say, referring to all this, "I want to be with this Christian for a moment in silence." With a Christian, "Is there a prophetic word over my life that must be fulfilled?" I want to spend a moment in silence with this question. And then even a prayer comes in between. "Dear God, if there is a prophetic word for my life, if you have a word for me, especially for me, let me hear it, I pray." What do you say now? If there is a prophetic word for me, for my life, let me hear it, I pray. Do you know what happened to me on Sunday morning? I started to cry. I couldn't help it. I heard this man emphasize and say these things so intimately, and the tears started to run down. A man, I'll say it again, who didn't hear all the things we heard. That's how we assume. He goes on, "I believe that this prophetic word was never an obscure case with him either. Certainly not. Where there is prophetic revelation, there is divine clarity. There God reveals his will and makes known what he has decided to do." He goes on to say of John, "He knew that over his life was that prophetic word. He knew that over his life was that prophetic word? What do you know? What do I know? What have we heard in our time? We have heard the prophetic word. And Peter already said at that time, we have also a more sure word of prophecy, which shines like a bright light in a dark place. Arise, shine, for thy light is come. In the midst of darkness, God caused the brightly shining prophetic word to appear, so that all might be enlightened by it and find the way to God. The man went on to say, John had to learn it in the wilderness, for he was to become a prophet of the Most High. A prophet speaks God's word for today. That's what it says here in this sermon. A prophet speaks God's word for today. Blank spot. Practicing to listen to God. Listening is not a matter of course either. Do you know that both are written in Revelation 1? Blessed is he who reads and who hears the words of the prophecy of this book. The blessing of God is on those who hear the prophetic word and on those who speak it. But these sayings have tremendous weight for us. God can speak to people in many different ways. He can prepare praise from the mouths of babes and sucklings. And it would come as no surprise if God allowed prophecy to come forth from a mouth of a man to confirm what God has done in this time. When this man says here, a prophet speaks God's word for today, we have experienced that. A prophet doesn't fantasize about the future and doesn't just see the past. A prophet sees the future, sees the past, but is used by God in the present among the people of God. And that is the blessing that is then revealed every time. He goes on to say, I think John absorbed the scriptures in the wilderness. It doesn't matter how it was. He knew his commission from the Word. And today we would ask, did he know how to read or write? That is not the question. The question is whether he was under the direct inspiration of the Holy Spirit. And there it is written, he had been filled with the Holy Spirit from his mother's womb. Our Lord did not go to school either, at least it's not reported. And when he was given the scroll of the prophet Isaiah, he was able to read aloud very well. Our Lord can read and write, and all his prophets could read and write. Whether they had learned it or not, God taught them. They knew what they were hearing, what they were speaking, and what they were writing. And we have an absolute word of God. Now he comes to the concluding part and says here, and I and we, prophetic words are there for us too. You can hear them from the Bible or hear them from a sermon, just as they apply to us collectively. But your own word, the special prophetic word for your life, you have to hear it yourself, you alone. Nobody shouts it at you. Nobody throws it at you. Paying careful attention to the words of God as they apply to us together can help you to perhaps one day hear the special word for you. Thoughts are expressed here that are simply precious. If God has given us grace to receive His general word in faith, then God gives us grace to hear and receive in faith the special word addressed to the church for this time. If we have only heard the general word with one ear, then we will not hear the special word with any ear. But if we have heard the general word of God with our heart, then we will also hear the special word addressed to the church with our whole heart. Quickly, on the last page, he comes to the starting point and directs our steps towards peace. Peace also between me and my partner, that we may understand each other and that we may able to reconcile where we do not understand each other, where we have treated each other wrongly, that we may be able to do this, that we may take steps in this direction. It is unfair to talk about peace in the big world and not make peace in the small world of our personal encounters. This is also a very true saying, and there can be one of the biggest peace movements in the whole world. And if all these movements do not have peace themselves and cannot bring peace to their immediate surroundings, then a movement will not be able to bring peace. The peace of which God's word speaks is not the peace that can somehow be brought about by demonstrations on the street. The peace of which God's word speaks is peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. The peace in which enmity has been abolished and all things have been put away and complete reconciliation with God has been brought about. That is the peace of which the Holy Scriptures speak. So we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Let me read this again, and then the last two quotes. It is unfair to talk about peace in the big world and not make peace in the small world of our personal encounters. If we knew all the people in their personal lives, at work, at home, in the family, then we would know whether they are children of peace. Beloved, let us emphasize once again that peace must be in the heart. And the hymn writer said it right when he wrote, When peace like a river attendeth my way, it is well with my soul. It continues here, and direct our steps to peace. This is such a prophetic word as it applies to all of us together. We must set out on our journey. We must hear the special word of God for us personally. And now it comes. I am looking for the prophetic word for me, the divine word that speaks into my life. I have to find it, discover it, be ready for it. And when I hear it, I have to let it be true, obey it, and walk the path step by step. I don't know what would happen if I were to come to this man with his own sermon and ask the question, "Dear Professor, let us refer to the sermon of Sunday morning, date so-and-so." And I phoned him and spoke to him briefly. "Beloved, however things may be, God has different ways. With one he reaches his goal faster, with the other it takes a little longer. One thing is certain, however, that even the people who occupy themselves with this word of God cannot ignore what God has done. There is no one who could speak of the first coming of Christ without realizing that a special prophetic word was fulfilled at that time, and that John was subject to this word, and that God was with him. Today, we need to do nothing more than reflect on the fact that all God's servants have been under a word from God from the beginning, not just of a general kind. And that is the emphasis here. And we know that in this time, everyone has the word of God in a general way. They can all read from the law of Moses, from the Psalms, from the prophets, from the Old and New Testament. But in the midst of this general word of God lies a prophetic word for you and for me, for the church of the living God. At the moment when a prophetic word was fulfilled with John, a prophetic word began to be fulfilled for those who believed his message, that he would bring many of the sons of Israel back to their God and prepare a people for the Lord. Do we all realize this? In the midst of the fulfillment of a prophetic word about an individual was the connection and fulfillment of what was to happen in general. And the same is true in this time. If God had not given a special word, a prophetic word, under this word, the man of God stood and had the prophetic word for this time. But that is not all. The result of a prophetic message must be revealed. And so it was with the first coming of Christ. It was not a great John who carried out a great commission that ended in nothing, but a man sent from God who prepared a bride for the bridegroom, and who could say, "The friend of the bridegroom heareth him and rejoices greatly because of the bridegroom's voice. This my joy therefore is fulfilled. He must increase, but I must decrease." With the connection of a ministry that is under a prophetic word, under a word of God, there must be a thing connected for all of God's people. And I say tonight, there are people in whom God has done something. They have not only taken note of the prophetic ministry with admiration, their hearts have been prepared. They have come closer to the bridegroom as bridal souls and are being led to him. If we emphasize at this point that after the prophet John came none other than Christ himself, whom he had introduced, whom he had presented, for whom he had prepared the way, so it is now before the return of the Lord. The prophetic ministry has fulfilled its task and called out the people of God. What remains is the meeting of the bride with the bridegroom. No one needs to come in between. Of course, we could say, "Yes, but John died so early after all. He was beheaded long before the work was completed on the cross of Calvary. He had done his job." And we might think, "Yes, Brother Branham was taken too soon." These are human thoughts. Have you ever heard God say that he came too early or that he was late? Does God have to look at your watch? Does he have to open your or my calendar to orientate himself? Or do we have to open God's word to have divine orientation in this confused time? Where is the truth? Most certainly with God and his word. And everything else is human reasoning that is just as obvious to the mind as what the serpent said to Eve. And when it was said, "You will be wise and able to discern all things," and so on. Well, that was it. That's all they needed, and nothing more. Beloved, where God has spoken, and I emphasize it again on purpose, whoever has really been addressed by God in his heart through the general word will sit there and will hear when God sends his special word to the church. And he will receive it in his heart and believe it from the heart. Everyone else will have to pass it by because God has nothing planned for them. If God has something in mind for your life and mine, then this word applies to us here. Blessed is she that believed, for there shall be a performance of those things which were told her from the Lord. God's word is a prophetic word. In the prophetic word is the promise. in the promise given to you and me, our faith is anchored. When God spoke to Abraham, he set out without knowing where he was going, but he knew the one who knew the way, who knew the destination. In earthly terms, Abraham went into the unknown. In spiritual terms, he went to the land that God had promised him. He was not disorientated. He had a precise orientation, perhaps not humanly, but divinely. It was the same with all the prophets, and it has been the same in our generation. Here, Zacharias, who received the promise and then saw it fulfilled, broke out into the words, and it says here, he was filled with the Holy Ghost and prophesied. Beloved, a prophetic word had been fulfilled in John, and he who stood by and saw the fulfillment of the prophetic word opened his mouth, and it is written of him, and he prophesied, saying, Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he has visited and redeemed his people, and has raised up an horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David. As he spake by the mouth of his holy prophets, which have been since the world began. What was it? Holy men of God spake from God, moved by the Holy Spirit. Now, Bible prophecy was fulfilled, and the man who saw it was filled with the Holy Ghost. Beloved, the one through whom God carried out the ministry, and the one who saw it, they were both filled with the Holy Spirit. One carried out the prophetic ministry, the other thanked God prophetically for it. And I believe that we too are under the same Spirit of God, under which all the prophets stood, under which Brother Branham carried out his ministry. And we too are to be filled with the Holy Ghost. This man did not bring a prophecy, but he summarized the prophecies and thanked God from the bottom of his heart that he could see them fulfilled. This man who preached the sermon here, he said, there is a general word of God, and there is a special prophetic word for you and for me. That's exactly how it is, and not otherwise. In those days, all Israel had the whole word of God, from A to Z, from Genesis to Malachi. They had everything. What the people of Israel lacked was the special word of promise for that time. And with a special word of promise came the special man through whom a word of God also had to be fulfilled. Beloved, this only proves that the first coming of Christ and the second coming of Christ have much in common. And that confirms to us what Brother Branham was told on the 11th of June 1933. Just as John was sent to forerun the first coming of Christ. So you are sent with a message to forerun the second coming of Christ. A special prophetic word for the last special prophetic generation, for the final church age in which Bible prophecy is being fulfilled. Let us give due thanks to Almighty God for the grace and privilege that has been bestowed upon us. If we have listened not only with one ear, but with our hearts, then we will be able to do so from the heart, even in this evening hour. Praise and glory be to the name of the Lord. He has looked graciously upon his people. He remembered his word and his promise. He sent us his prophet and guided our steps into the way of peace. And he feeds us with his living word to this day, with the manna that has been hidden throughout the ages, but has now been revealed by grace to his servants and prophets, so that you and I may sit down at God's table, which is richly set, and feast on the riches of his house. And just as we give thanks for earthly food, should we not thank God with all our heart for the spiritual table and spiritual food? Who of us sits down at the earthly table to eat earthly food without giving thanks to God? Who does that? The pagans, but not the believers. Therefore, beloved, if we thank God for the natural bread that sustains the natural body, how much more should we thank God for the food of our soul that sustains us spiritually? In the midst of the general word and preaching, God has revealed a prophetic word at the end of days and has spoken to us at this time. May it be so, that not one is excluded, but all are included. This man may have only spoken of it. We may experience it. We may be among those who have found grace with God. Today, all of us, without exception, who sit at God's table year in, year out, and who are allowed to partake of God's food, should give thanks from the bottom of our hearts for what he has prepared for us. Praise be to his holy name. Amen. Perhaps we will stand up and give thanks in a moment. Will you pray with us, Brother Rus? Heavenly Father, we thank you with all our hearts for your precious and holy word that you have brought before us again this evening. Lord, we thank you that we not only speak of your word and contemplate how you revealed yourself to the prophets, how you spoke to them, but we can thank you, Lord, that you have spoken to us. By grace, O Lord, we were allowed to hear your voice. O Lord, what a privilege has been bestowed upon us. For this we all praise your glorious name. We worship you in our midst, O Lord. We give you the honor, Lord. For Lord, indeed, you have not only spoken to the prophets of old, but you have spoken to us. What a grace, what a privilege it is, O Lord, that we have been allowed to hear all this. Lord, We do not want to take these words lightly, but thank you, Lord, and tremble at the thought of your speaking and your word, O Lord. We worship you tonight, O Lord. You have done great things, Lord. You have chosen for yourself the most poor, the most wretched, and you have spoken to them, O Lord. What a grace! We see it already in the first days when you were on earth, how you spoke to your own, O Lord. To others you spoke only in parables, but to your own you spoke more clearly. Praise be to your marvelous name. Hallelujah. We are so glad, Lord, for your word, for your speaking this evening, and we thank you from the bottom of our hearts. Hallelujah. O Lord, we have not words enough, Lord, to offer to you, but you know our hearts. You know our desires, Lord. O Jesus, my God, bless all your people, Lord, who have heard your word. May they be able to offer you honor and worship in the right way. Hallelujah. Praise be to your wonderful name. Hallelujah.